Good morning. It's Sunday morning. Pastor Schaefer here. Just got back from the church. Everything was fine there. I picked up the mail, and I had the tithes and offerings that people sent in, and I brought all that up to Betty Ann, and she's doing fine. So praise the Lord. Everything's good. So this morning, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Get your Bible out if you have it. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I've entitled this message, Running the Race Set Before Us. So here we are in Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Heavenly Father, as believers, the Bible teaches that we are in a race, we're in a spiritual contest, and these verses talk about this. And so help us, Lord, to learn about this race that we're running, and help us to be as effective as we can, especially now, Lord, during this virus crisis. We ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this, look at these verses, running the race before us, we're going to see the pioneers in the race. That's the verse 1, the first part of the verse. Then preparations for the race, second part of verse 1. Patience in the race, third part of verse 1. And then the pattern for the race, verse 2. So first of all, the pioneers in the race. What's it talking about? Pioneers in the race. It says in the verse, wherefore, saying we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who are these witnesses? Well, these are people who have gone before in the Lord. Paul just finished talking about all these in chapter 11. So if you go back to chapter 11, for instance, go to verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And then moving along in that chapter, look at verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. And then we have Sarah, verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So we have all these various people listed for us here in Hebrews chapter 11. These are people that have gone on before, and they're great examples for us. And so these would be the pioneers in the race that is set before us, listed for us there in chapter 11. And as we think of these different ones, these pioneers, back in our verse, Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, it says. And so these witnesses, so to speak, they encircle us. They're compassed about. They're all around us, so to speak. And it talks about a cloud of witnesses. So a dense multitude of people who have gone on before, who have trusted the Lord, who have ran the race. And it's like they're there encouraging us. And so we have this picture of a dense mass of people all around us who are there to remind us that we can live for God. We're not alone. There's been millions before us. And others have gone through very tough things before we have. And so that's what Hebrews 11 is talking about. All the difficult things that the heroes of the faith went through. And so they're there to encourage us. That's the second thing. So they encircle us, and then they encourage us, these people. And so it's meant to encourage us, to spur us on, these old saints cheering us on. I think of Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's a great book. It would be a great book to read if you've never read it. It talks about all the persecutions that happened in the early church and the horrible things that people faced. And they got through it. They trusted the Lord. Some of them were burned at the stake. And they would sing as they were burning. I mean, what an encouragement that they were able to do that, filled with the grace of God empowering them to get through that difficult situation. And then also in the scriptures, there's all kinds of things in the Old Testament that you can read about, like Noah and the building of the ark and what he went through. And so the great heroes of the faith, they encircle us, they encourage us, these pioneers in the race. And they have been through far worse than we have. Even in the midst of this virus thing that we're having to face now, that's a real test for us as believers. But down through the ages, there's always been tests for believers, some of which are in the Bible that you can read for yourself in the Old Testament and also in the book of Acts in the New Testament. Of course, the Lord Jesus, and we'll get to him, he's the great example. So pioneers in the race, they encircle us, they encourage us. All right, back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. What about preparations for the race? The second part of this verse. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so preparation for the race. And Paul likens the Christian life as a race. And in an actual race, there's training. You have to focus. You have to compete. And these are all things that are hard. You see these athletes on TV that run these long distance races and how difficult it is and how much work they put into it. Well, likewise, in the Christian life, the race that we're running, there's preparation involved. And in here, we see two things. We see consecration and confession. First of all, consecration. It talks about laying aside every weight. Weight or bulk that might slow us down as a believer in the Christian life. And so, you know, we need to lay aside our own selfish interests. Lay aside the things of the world that might weigh us down. It might even be good things that we would have to lay aside. We need to be 100% sold out as believers. And I know this isn't talked about too much, but we need to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just saved, but consecrated. Now turn in your Bible back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Wow, talks about denying himself there in that verse. And then Luke chapter 14, let's look at some verses there. Luke chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. The Bible says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, verse 26 talks about hating family members, but that is a word of degree. In other words, we love the Lord Jesus so much that our love for our family would seem like hate in comparison. It's not teaching us to hate our relatives. It's a comparative word. And so the idea of being consecrated, sold out. And then take a look in Romans. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, it's talking about being surrendered. Surrendering your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a person can be saved, but not surrendered. And when I got saved back in December of 1978, I was not yet surrendered to the Lord. That came later. I'll never forget it. I was in a church service. We had a guest speaker, and he was preaching on being surrendered to the Lord. And he gave an invitation and asked for people to raise their hand if they were willing to be surrendered to the Lord. And I was just a new believer at the time and not really thinking too straight. And what was running through my mind is, okay, Lord, if you want me to stand in front of a car and get run over, I'll do it. And then I put my hand up, and I really did surrender to the Lord. Obviously, God's not going to ask you to do something like that. But that's what was in my head, and I'll never forget it. And that was when I surrendered my life to the Lord. Now, we can take it back. We may need to re-surrender to Him. Because we have to live moment by moment surrendered to Him. That's the idea here. And so that's what consecration is about. You're surrendered to the Lord. And you're sold out to Him. Just like a person who's running a race, they got to be sold out in order to win that race. So consecration. And then it also involves confession. The preparation for our race involves confession. It says back in... let me just turn there back to our passage, to Hebrews 12, verse 1. It says, "Let us lay aside every weight," we talked about that, "and the sin which doth so easily beset us." And so sin easily gets in the way. It entangles us. That's the idea of being beset by sin, to be entangled by some sin. We need to confess that and forsake that. Now, years ago, I grew up on a farm, and I had a horse named Cindy. And one of the things we used to do, of course, we all had horses, we would play hide-and-seek down in the woods and on horseback, and we would hide behind trees or whatever. And then if you got spotted, you would have to run back up to the field. Your horse would run, and you'd have to go to the goal. And if the person who found you got there first... you would be it. So it was hide and seek on horseback. And I'll never forget it. I was with Cindy. We were hiding behind a tree. We were near the line fence, which is a barbed wire fence. And there was a piece of rusty, coiled up barbed wire under the leaves. And she stepped in that. And she got entangled in that barbed wire. And she backed up. And I went forward and tried to get the wire off her foot as best I could. And when she backed up, she backed into the line fence. And when she did that, she bucked. And I was thrown backwards. And when I came down, the whole back of me went right down that line fence, and it was barbed wire. And so that barbed wire opened my pants up completely. And they were just hanging. And, you know, I was cut and everything. And so here goes Cindy. She got out, and she's limping, back up to the field. And I'm concerned for her, and I'm running after her, and my pants are all hanging down. But that's what it means to be entangled. She was entangled in that barbed wire, and she couldn't even move until she got her foot freed from the entanglement of that barbed wire. And that's what sin can do to us. Turn in your Bible to Proverbs 5 and verse 22. Proverbs 5:22. Believe me, I got a lot of stories I can tell you. It's a wonder I'm even alive, the things that I've been through. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 22. Proverbs 5:22. Yeah, horses have done everything that they can possibly do to me. I've been bit. I've been stepped on. I've been thrown. I've been kicked. I had a horse bite me in the chest and pick me right off the ground one time. So, you know, I've been bucked off. My other horse, Lady, bucked me off, and I landed on the reins, and she pulled back and fetched up on those reins, and then she reared up, and I saw those hoofs coming, and I had to roll out from under there. I sold her after that, because she tried to trample me. All right, back to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22. It says here, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. So that's what sin can do. And by the way, unsaved people are holden by the cord of their sins. When you're saved, there's tremendous freedom, and we no longer have to be holden in sin. Now, we can allow ourselves to do it, but we don't have to do it like the unsaved. So, confession. And if we do get involved in sin, we need to go to 1 John 1:9 and confess that sin to the Lord. So, consecration and confession. Preparation for the race. Now, what about patience in the race? Back in Hebrews 12, same verse, verse 1 at the end, it says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And as we think of this race that we're running, we need to be patient. We need to have perseverance. We need to have endurance as we run. We can't be giving up and becoming bitter or depressed or anything like that. We got to keep serving the Lord and patiently enduring the things that we face. And so we need to be patient amid problems, and we need to be patient amid persecution. First of all, patience amid problems. There can be sickness. Of course, we have this virus going on right now. There could be financial problems, which our country's facing. Work problems. Some of us aren't even able to work. Being tired, having trouble getting victory over sin and all these things. But we need to hang in there and not allow ourselves to become bitter, but be patient. Turn to James chapter 1. Let's look at verses 2 through 4 in James chapter 1. Some verses about patience. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. So the idea here is problems do come into our lives, and God will use those problems to develop us, to develop patience in our lives. And so we need to be patient as we run the race amid problems that we may face. Also, we need to be patient amid persecution. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 1:4 in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. Yeah, when Carol and I were dating, we had horses. And I took her on a few trail rides. But she wasn't used to the horses, so she had kind of a hard time. I remember we were on the road one time, and horses don't like mailboxes. And she's riding another horse named Snip. And Snip didn't like mailboxes. And so we passed a mailbox, and he was looking right at that mailbox, and he turned himself all the way around with his face pointing at the mailbox till he got by it. I'll never forget that. And poor Carol's, she's trying to get him to turn, and he wouldn't do it because he was looking at that mailbox. All right, where are we here? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So the church at Thessalonica faced a lot of persecution. I have faced persecution. I've had people turn the cold shoulder. I've had people get angry at me when I attempted to give them the gospel. I had people, my boss at my job years ago got all mad at me because I was reading the Bible at lunchtime. And then we started the church down in Hamden, and the city of Hamden basically threw us out. They wouldn't let us meet in Hamden. So I know what it's like to face persecution. Nothing like people face, like in the Middle East, nothing physical, but I have faced persecution. Well, in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 15, look what it says. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So you know the danger, if we don't have patience amid our problems and amid persecution, the danger is we can become bitter. And if we do that, God really can't use us. In verse 15, it says that many are defiled if we become bitter. And so we need to look diligently that we don't get that way, and to run the race with patience. Okay, we've looked at pioneers in the race, preparations for the race, patience in the race. Now finally, the pattern for the race. And our pattern is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's verse 2 of Hebrews 12. It says, looking unto Jesus, so attentively considering him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, disregarding the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now that's quite a mouthful there in verse 2, but it's talking about Christ. And we're to look to him. We're to concentrate our gaze upon the Lord Jesus. He is our great example. He is our pattern. If you want to run the race the right way, look what the Lord Jesus did in his life, recorded for us in the Gospels, how he never sinned. And, he didn't allow anyone to kill him or take him or anything like that until the time was right. And then he willingly went to the cross. That was his mission. And what a great pattern. So it talks here about Christ being the author of our faith. So he's the originator of our faith. He's also our leader. He's our captain, our prince, our trailblazer, the author of our faith, like one who goes ahead and hacks a path in the jungle. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ did that as our pattern. And he's a perfect pattern. So looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, he's also the finisher of our faith, it says in verse 2. So, the Lord Jesus made it all the way to the end. And also, we know that God perfects us, makes us complete, mature, finishes us, and makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold your finger in Hebrews. Turn to Jude, verse 24. Jude, verse 24. Just before the book of Revelation, the little book of Jude, that little pearl. And verse 24. Here's what it says. Now unto him, Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to make sure that we're a finisher. We're going to make it. We're going to get to heaven. So he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus. He's also our Savior, according to this verse, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And so the Lord Jesus was looking way ahead at the results of what he would do on Calvary's cross. He became the human sacrifice for every sin that's ever been committed. He made the payment for that on Calvary's cross. And he did it with joy because he could look down the road and see all the people that would be saved and that would be able to go to heaven because of his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. He did it for the joy that was set before him. And it says he endured the cross. He willingly, patiently endured that suffering. Suffering at the hands of man with the whippings and the crown of thorns and being crucified, nails driven in his hands and feet. Crucified naked, and then people passing by and making fun of him, and all that involved. But also, he had to endure God the Father venting his wrath against sin as he hung there, because he was a sacrifice. He was a human sacrifice. He was making payment for sin. And so God vented his wrath against sin in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in Isaiah 53, he hath put him to grief. God the Father hath put him to grief. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, he handled that. Not only the physical suffering, but the supernatural suffering while he was there on the cross, which I believe was even worse than the physical. Because remember, Christ was sinless. He was perfect. He never had experienced sin. And yet the Bible says that he became sin for us, or in place of us. And that's a very mysterious thing to think about. But one who despises and hates sin became sin. And that in and of itself must have been horrible for the Lord Jesus Christ to have to deal with that. It says here, despising the shame, or disregarding the shame. He thought little of the shame of the crucifixion in view of what it would produce. And so what a great example for us. Pattern for the race. And then finally, not only is our Savior, but he's our victor. There at the end of the verse, it says now that he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So he died on Calvary's cross, he was buried, and then he rose again the third day and got his glorified body, and he is now sitting as a glorified human and also as God at the right hand of the Father in glory. And so he was victorious. He made it through. And so he's the pattern for the race. And so, there's incredible pressure on us as Christians to just pack it in. It's just too much trouble to be a believer. Too many hassles. Why even bother? And thinking about the virus now that is out there. And, you know, the internet is being censored. I don't know if you realize that. There's a lot of YouTubes that are being censored. Conservative YouTubes are being censored. A friend of mine, David Benham, wonderful Christian man, used to play baseball for the New Haven Ravens. We got very close to him when he was here. He went to our church in Hamden. And he has a ministry of protesting at abortion clinics. And in fact, his dad led Jane Roe to the Lord many years ago. Can you imagine that? But anyway, the other day, David and his dad and another Christian man who's a lawyer and somebody else, there were four of them, in their town there's an abortion clinic, and they were across the street standing on the sidewalk, not saying anything, not doing anything, just being there, and they were arrested, which I can't even believe. And talk about pressure, you know. God may be pressuring us in different ways just because of our Christianity at this time. People not understanding, people angry at us, not wanting to hear the gospel. And so, but we need to be victorious. We need to look to the pattern, the Lord Jesus. And if he could do it and go to the cross and do all those things, then we should be able to handle whatever persecution or problems we face. Look at verses 3 and 4 of Hebrews 12, just in closing here. It says, "For consider the Lord Jesus, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." He was terribly mistreated, as you know. "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds, lest you lose heart." So we need to consider Christ. We need to have our eyes fixed on him. If we don't do that, we can become wearied and we can faint in our minds. It says in verse 4, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin." And so we need to run that race that is set before us. There are pioneers that have done it, and we can read about them in the Bible. And then there are preparations we need to make. Consecration, confession, patience as we run the race, patience amid problems, patience amid persecution. And then we need to have our eyes fixed to the pattern for the race, the Lord Jesus. He is the author, the finisher, the Savior, and the victor. So I just want to encourage you to keep looking at Christ, to keep running the race. Don't give up. Don't lose heart in the midst of this crisis that we are now all facing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for this encouragement in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Help us, Lord, to be looking to the Lord Jesus. Help us to run that race the way that we should. I think of Brother Dave Benham being arrested and the other men that were with him. I pray that when it goes to court, that he'll be found not guilty, because they weren't doing anything wrong. And they were practicing social distancing and everything. So I just pray for him. And I think of our church, Lord, and the people who are members of our church, who go to our church. You have been protecting us all, and I pray that you'll continue protecting us, Lord. And help us to be an encouragement to people that are around us. Help us to still have the joy of the Lord in our hearts, that people would see that there's something different about us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, well, have a good rest of the Lord's Day. Today is Palm Sunday. Next week is Resurrection Sunday, so I'll have a message on the resurrection for next week. Meanwhile, God bless you all, and keep running that race.